My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord, compares to the promise I have in you.
Very good.
Well, good morning. It's going to be a little bit of a different service today. The young people are downstairs preparing the meal. And so I thought I'd do the song service today, and it's going to be a little different. The sermon's going to be a little different. And we're going to have communion today, and we're going to have a good time fellowshipping around the Lord's table. But I'm going to ask, first of all, if Joshua and Josiah would come. They have special music for us.
There's a church in the valley by the wild wood, no lovelier spot in the valley. No place is so dear to my childhood as that little brown church in the valley. Oh, come, 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 come to this church in the wild wood. Oh, come to this church in the valley. No place is so dear to my childhood as that little brown church in the valley. There's a church in the valley by the wild wood, and no lovelier spot in the valley. No place is so dear to my childhood as that little brown church in the valley. Oh, come, 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 come to this church in the wild wood. Oh, come to this church in the valley. No place is so dear to my childhood as that little brown church in the valley. As that little brown church in the valley.
Thank you. Take your hymn books, please, and stand as we sing page 355, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Number 519. I am the God that healeth thee. What we're going to ask you to do, if you would like to be prayed for today and be anointed with oil, if you have a need for healing, body, soul, or spirit, God wants to make you every whit whole. And I'm just going to ask you to come as we sing this chorus this morning, and then as board members, as you see people coming, would you come and let's lay hands on them and pray for them today. And then Brother Rich, our Sunday school teacher, taught on healing today. Brother Rich, would you join us up here too in praying for the sick? Joan?
fantastic. Why don't you come forward and stand in for her, and we'll pray for that. If anybody else that wants to come, please do. Come right away.
I am the God that healeth thee.
Thank you.
Amazing Grace, page 306 in your hymnal. If you need it, you might not even need it. Amazing Grace. How sweet that sounds. Amen.
Praise God.
time. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Time, page 144, the first and last verses, When We See Christ. 144, just over a few pages. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Yeah.
you may be seated. Thank you, ladies.
Children's Church is dismissed at this time. Kids, there is no children. Turn in your hymn books to Matthew chapter 26. While you're turning there, I give you a report. Wednesday night, we did a chalk drawing and ministry at Spooner. They had a Speed the Light rally there for their church, and had a number of young people. It was good to see that. And Joshua did a drawing that we call the two-way drawing, very evangelistic drawing. People had to make a choice. You're on the crossroads of life. The only two ways to go is the narrow way which leads to heaven or the broad way which leads to death. And presented the gospel to them, and five young people came forward for salvation for the very first time. And that was great to see. And a number of them came to the altar and recommitted their lives and said to my family, that's what it's all about, you know, going through all the training and all that preparation. But when you see that happen, that's what it's all about. Matthew chapter 26, and we will begin with verse 26. Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. May the things that I have to say be a challenge to us and also a blessing and a comfort. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, the sermon was going to be a little bit different today. And it is because I want to talk on a subject that I feel is important, and that being, don't lose the hymns. Don't lose the hymns. Verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Believe it or not, this is one of the few Assembly of God or Pentecostal churches that have not forsaken the hymns. The absence from churches leaves a gaping wound. And I chose mostly hymns today for the song service. I thought that would be more appropriate with the message this morning. But you know, the bottomless reservoir of theology, the hymnal, has been replaced by the overhead projector. And I'm not decrying scripture choruses. I love them as much as anybody else. I really do. What I'm doing today is not coming down on scripture choruses. I'm mourning the loss of hymns. People need the hymns. And this is not just nostalgia on my part. At no time have I grieved for the quote, good old days. I much prefer tone dialing to talking to a snippy operator. I prefer driving a car than riding in a stagecoach. I would rather type into a computer that corrects all my spelling mistakes than to take a feather and dip it in a jar of ink now and then. I love modern technology. Even though I don't know much about electronics, I love electronic things. This message today is simply a call to not forsake the hymns. Because I don't believe the church can function well without them. Without their grand melodies and their soul-stirring theology, we cannot get along without them. In a generation threatened by nuclear annihilation, by raging tides of gross immorality, by infesticides, homicides, and pesticides. We need to return to the hymns. We need to relearn them, to understand them, to learn the history behind them, to sing them, and to live them. I'm sorry, but bullfrogs and butterflies does not replace all creatures of our God and King, or the words, praise Him, all creatures here below. Nothing thrills my soul like a crowd singing with all their heart, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. When she visited the Jewish detention camps on the island of Cyprus following World War II, Golda Meir wept as she met children who told her that they had never seen a flower. Can you imagine that? These children had never seen a flower, not in their entire life. What a tragedy. And in the light of eternity, it is equally sad that I meet young people in the body of Christ who have never heard the uplifting words of count your blessings. I couldn't believe that, but we did chalk drawing a service in an Assembly of God church one Sunday morning. I said, let's sing count your blessings, and nobody knew it. They look at you blankly as you say, let's all stand to our feet and sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Some of these today's choruses are great. Others can be sung to just about anyone. Many of them don't even mention the name of Jesus or have reference to any particular God. How many of you remember that great chorus, Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim. It's worthy praise forever. This generation has heard the word Jesus used in the gutter as verbal punctuation for every foul emotion known to man. Can we not at least give them the counterpoint, the reality of the magnificence of the name they so easily profane? The hymns were written as expressions of faith and adoration by men and women who had literally touched the heart of God. The hymns were not written to make the believers top 10. They were not conceived in the heart of some agent. They were musical outpourings of love and dedication. Many were personal testimonies of the greatness of God. They were expressions of gratitude, and they were direct answers to prayer, as in the case of this hymn. One day, Fanny Crosby desperately needed $5. That doesn't sound like a lot of money to us today, but to this poor blind soul, she desperately needed $5. She didn't know where she could get this amount. So as was her custom, she got on her knees and she went to the Lord in prayer. She hadn't been praying very long when she got a knock on the door. A stranger stood in the door. She didn't know him, never saw him before in her life. He walked into Fanny Crosby's home. He gave her a $5 bill. And he said, God told me to stop and give this to you that you need it. Fanny Crosby said, I have no way of accounting for this except to believe that God, in answer to my prayer, put it in the heart of this good man to bring me the money. My first thought was, it is so wonderful the way the Lord leads me. So she sat down and immediately wrote the poem, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Now I can't help but thinking that when Fanny Crosby got done writing that poem, she dropped her pen to the desk. She raised her hands. She lifted her head. She lifted her eyes to heaven. And she thanked God. And she praised Him for His care and provision. She was in the presence of the Lord that she loved so dearly. In 1912, a songwriter sat by his piano. Considering the hopeless estate of so many millions of people, the world has given them no sympathy, no understanding, no tenderness. And somehow into his heart came the concept of Mary Magdalene, mourning in the Garden of Resurrection. Rome had no compassion for the Christians and their Lord Jesus Christ. Their brutal soldiers had draped his body over a cross and nailed it into a place where it writhed in pain until the mercies of death had stilled it. The disciples had lovingly prepared the body for burial and placed it in a borrowed tomb. Now even the body was gone. It was the final indignation, the final meanness, the final humiliation, and then the miracle. And as the songwriter C. Austin Miles considered the wonder of it, he found himself writing, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Now there's just something about that song. When you sing it,
or even when you hear it, you are somehow gripped with the same feelings that Miles had when he wrote that song 90 years ago. You get caught up into it. You find yourself in the garden as you sing it. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I don't know about you, but I feel anointing there. And this song has conveyed that anointing throughout the decades. The song has never lost its luster. It's still a favorite of many. Parent, if you want to, take away the situation comedies from your living room. Take away the newest electronic toy from the toy box. But don't deprive your children of the hymns. Don't deprive your children of the wonder of singing that song in the garden. If you have to take something away from them, don't let it be the hymns. Take something else. You will find some of the greatest theology in these songs. Theology simply means the knowledge of God. And how desperately the world needs that today. How desperately the world needs a knowledge of God. More than one observer has declared that our generation has lost its sense of the majesty of God. Tozer declared that modern Christianity is simply not producing the kind of Christian who can appreciate or experience the life in the Spirit. The words, "Be still and know that I am God," mean nothing next to the self-confident, bustling worshiper in this, when he wrote it, 20th century, and I believe still is, I'm a purist. It appears that religion has made substantial gains in this generation. Perhaps it has. At least the churches are prosperous. But you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid that the gains are external, but the losses are internal. And that could prove to be fatal. A generation that knows nothing about the nature and attributes of God is in serious trouble. In the most severe turmoil of his life, Spafford touched God. There was an overflow unto his notebook, and the church has been blessed by this song, "It Is Well With My Soul," ever since he penned it. We find such great comfort in that song. We find such great insight, personal insights into the grace of God. Listen to those words. "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." And then the last verse, "And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Those words send shivers up and down my spine. Yes, the melody is there. The melody's fine, but there's more to it than that. There is an anointed lyric that is felt within a man's soul and gives insight into the comfort of God, and it gives insight into the eternal reality that boosts my appreciation of Him to unprecedented heights. The hymns have a lasting effect on people. Here's a story that Reverend Joseph Berry recorded. I could sit here for a long time today and just relate hymn history and stories that came as a result of people knowing hymns, but I won't do that today. But I want to leave you with one. Reverend Joseph Berry recorded this and said that if he would have read such a thing in a book or a magazine, he would have pronounced it pure fiction. But nevertheless, it is a true story. Joe Bickle and George Clark ran away from home and got into a lot of trouble. One afternoon, they were in the back room of a saloon playing cards. A dispute arose, angry words were spoken, and then without warning, one man pulled a gun from his belt and shot Clark through the body. The poor fellow's face fell white, and he rolled off the chair and onto the mud room floor of the room. Clark said, "I guess I'm done for, Joe, but I can't die here. For my mother's sake, please take me out of this place." With some help, Joe lifted George and carried him out of the saloon, across the narrow street, and put him under a little shade tree on a hill. Joe took off his coat, rolled it up, and put it under his head for a pillow. He laid George down upon the rocky ground to die. He was quiet for a moment and seemed to be scarcely breathing. Then he opened his eyes and whispered pathetically, "Joe, I can't go this way." Both of us were taught to believe that there is a God and that He is merciful. Maybe He would have mercy on me if I would ask Him, "Won't you pray for us? Won't you pray for me, Joe? I've tried to pray, but the pain is so intense. It hurts so much that I can't keep my mind on prayer." Joe shook his head. "No, I can't pray." He thought he had gone so far that he didn't even dare to pray. Accepting the low moan that came from his lips, involuntarily, Clark was still. In a few moments, however, he looked up. He looked straight in the face of Joe and he said, "Old man, I've been trying to remember some of the words from the Bible that tell of God's mercy to sinners, but I can't get any of them. Would you help me find some words?" Joe reached back through the years and tried to compel his memory to reproduce some of the promises he had learned as a boy. Soon he got hold of one word, and one word led to another, and that suggested an entire verse, and then another verse came to his mind. Stooping over his friend, he repeated the verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And ask, seek, and knock. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you." With passionate interest, Clark hung on to every word. Then he closed his eyes and he was still again. Joe thought he was gone, but soon he noticed that he was whispering to himself. He said slowly, "You will never know how much those words from the Bible meant to me. How wonderful. I never saw them so beautifully before. They seemed just for me. Now, my chum, do me one more thing. Sing one of the songs we used to know back home. Something about His mercy." Joe tried to recall a gospel song. At first, only ditties he had learned on the frontier came to his mind. He could recall snatches of songs that they had sung in college, but anything serious, his mind was blank. And then suddenly, like a flash, there came out of the rubbish of his memory the line of an old hymn. That line suggested the stanza and other stanzas. With his arm around his dying chum, he began to sing in a low voice, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." The eyes of his friend were so fixed on him that he sang the entire first stanza, and then he went on to the second. "Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and Thou alone." Before the next line was completed, he saw Clark trying to lift his hand, his right hand up. He got it barely up, and then it fell down to his side. But then in a little while later, he began to raise it again. He seemed to be grasping for something that he clearly saw. And then as Joe began to sing, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling," with a great and a tremendous effort, Clark was able to lift his hand even higher, and he seemed to grasp something. And he was holding something. And he turned to Joe and he said, "Joe, it's all right now. I've got it. It's the cross, and I'll never let it go." "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee." In those dying moments, he remembered a hymn that caused him to reach out to the cross, and he grabbed the cross and he cherished it so much, he said, "I'll never let it go." That experience led to Joe's own conversion and rededication of his life. And the prodigal son returned to his family, his home. On the most important night of his life, Jesus, before going out to face the betrayal in the garden, and before going out to face the mocked crowd and the unjust trial and the horrible crucifixion, first led his disciples in a hymn, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. All I'm going to ask you to do today is simply this. Don't deprive your children. Don't deprive the next generation of the hymns. You can sing scripture choruses, praise songs. I don't care. Great. I love them too. All I'm saying is in the process, don't forsake the hymns. There's a wealth of theology. There's a wealth of meaning. And I don't know, maybe this is just me, but there's something about the hymns, the words of the hymns, I don't forget. It's like scripture. I don't forget scripture. Yeah, I might forget it, but you know, when I need it, the Holy Spirit brings it back to my mind and I'm able to recall it. The hymns are the same way, and they'll be the same way in your children's lives. Again, I could tell you story after story about how people came back to the Lord by remembering the words to a hymn. Please, please, I'm begging you today, please, don't deprive your children of the hymns. I'm not trying to sell tapes today, but if you feel that you might be tempted to do this someday, get a copy of this service and play it every once in a while. Remind yourself of the importance and power of hymns. How many here today would say, Pastor, you can count on me. I will not forsake the hymns in my family. Could I just see your hand? Amen. That's a commitment you're making today. We will not forsake the hymns. We might sing scripture choruses and praise songs, but we won't neglect the hymns either. Praise God. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to ask the men to come and pass out communion. You can look. I didn't really need to have you bow your head and close your eyes. It's a habit I have. But if the men would come to pass out communion today, I'd like the rest of us to sing Rock of Ages, page 118. We'll sing as they distribute the emblems today. Just remind you that we serve an open communion here. You don't have to be a member of this church to partake of communion. The only thing that we ask is that you be a member of the body of Christ. If you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then we invite you to partake with us. Go ahead, man. Okay, on the first verse. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. From wrath with page 438. Jesus paid it all. Matthew 26, as they were eating bread, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Brother Jerry, would you ask the blessing upon this bread today?
Dear Jesus, thank you for this gift of your body, Lord. Thank you for suffering, Lord. Thank you that when we suffer, we know that you have suffered.
Yes.
And that you are with us. When we are alone, you have been alone. When we struggle, you struggle. And we're thankful, Lord, that in the darkness that there is, you are there with your light.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's eat of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your willingness to give literally of yourself. Thank you, Lord. We take this body as a result, this cracker as a represents your body. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your body. Bless it, Lord. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Brother Bob, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Father, we thank you for this cup of the New Testament. We thank you for the shed blood of Calvary's tree. We thank you that you brought the stripes, which also shed blood, for healing, for the touch. Thank you for the entire plan of salvation, that which has been completed in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's drink together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you for your blood. Oh, precious as the flow. That makes me white as snow. Thank you that you paid it all. Paid it all for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the cleansing, the healing, precious, precious blood of Jesus. you take your cups and pass them to the center aisle, and the men will pick them up. Let's sing that Glory to His Name. Page 435. Let's stand. Let's all stand.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart.
Would you dismiss the service and ask the blessing on the meal downstairs and this fundraiser for the young people.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this wonderful day. Your mom, you serve, Lord Jesus. We just appreciate you and the healing you have for us. You just renewed us every day, Lord. As long as we believe and trust in you, just glorify your name. Lord, we also ask that you bless the food downstairs that the youth have prepared hard for us, Lord. We just ask that their missions and their trip just be filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.